Three's Company, written by Surgical Stainless, narrated by Rhea 314. Fandom, The Murderbot Diaries, Relationship, Murderbot, and Sec Unit 3. Rating general audiences, no archive warning supply. Now where are you taking me? The voice in the hallway causes a reaction in my organic parts. I'm not sure why. The words are a little alarming, but the tone is one of complaint, not fear. And then my memory archives return a match, and I recognize her. That's Supervisor Leonid. My organic skin is sweating. The voices, Leonid's and others, are coming this way. Did they report me to Bear Shastranza after all? Is she here to take me back? The voices are moving closer. They are right outside the door, and there is no protocol for what to do in this situation, and I have run out of time to do anything anyway. The door opens. I freeze. Luckily, I have been standing in an out-of-the-way corner, and I am not in immediate line of sight of the door. Maybe she won't notice me, and the humans will leave soon. They have stopped just outside the doorway. I hear Kareem say, "Make yourself comfortable until the captain is available to speak with you." Leonid makes a scoffing sound. Carefully, I send one of my drones over to give me a better view of the doorway. Supervisor Leonid is hesitating just before the threshold. She looks tired and irritated. Her body language shows tension. Kareem is wearing the same patient but also secretly annoyed expression I saw so often in her negotiations with the colonists. She gestures at the doorway, but Leonid still doesn't move. There is a different scoffing sound, and then Sec Unit steps into view in the doorway, moving closer to Leonid than humans generally consider polite. "Translation," it says. "You wait in the argument lounge while they decide what to do with you." It takes another step, a small one, but that brings it close enough to be not so subtly intimidating. She scowls up at it over her shoulder. It stares over her head at the edge of the doorway. She steps into the room. Sec Unit follows her, still moving too close on her heels, and Leonid is forced to move further into the room to get away from it. I am reminded of an educational entertainment video I saw recently about small domesticated predator fauna who have been trained to herd larger domesticated prey fauna to different locations on their human's command. Sec units are not allowed to touch human clients to move them except in emergencies, and this technique could be a useful alternative. Maybe Sec Unit has also seen that educational vid. It's annoying that Sec Unit insists everyone call it Sec Unit. It's like if a human wanted to be called human. It has a name, but we're not supposed to use it because it's private? This makes no sense. But there is nothing telling me what to do now, and my thoughts are also private, so I will call it 1.0 in my thoughts. Leonid halts in the middle of the room, which 1.0 must decide is far enough, because it stops following her and heads instead for one of the comfortable couches. Leonid doesn't seem inclined to sit. Instead, she turns in a slow circle and inspects the room. It's a nice room. It has places to prepare and eat food, and comfortable places to sit, and a large display surface so that the humans can gather to watch entertainment together. All the furnishings are in muted tones of blue and gray, and there are crew, and student-made, artworks displayed all over the walls. It's nothing like a Bear Shastranza lounge. It's my favorite room on board the Perihelion. I often spend time here when I have nothing to do, which is most of the time. "Argument lounge," she asks, sounding exasperated. 1.0 flops down onto a couch and puts its boots up on the nearest small table. "That's what it's called." The door slides shut, with Kareem on the other side of it. This whole time I've been standing in the corner, keeping very still. This is something I've had a lot of practice at, and Supervisor Leonid has also had a lot of practice at ignoring Sec Unit standing still, so maybe if I don't move, she will not notice me. 1.0 has noticed me, although it hasn't looked my way with its eyes. Its three remaining drones are circling lazily around the room, and as one of them flies past my position, it does a little wobble that I think might be acknowledgement. Then 1.0 pings me and drops a file into my feed. It's labeled secondary site deployment.file, and it's a report of everything that happened while 1.0, Iris, Tariq, Rati, and Perihelion drone were away. They had found the secondary colony site. They had made an educational documentary, and Supervisor Leonid had been there, and some of her subordinates had tried to kill her, and 1.0 had saved her life. Then it had sent the helpme.file to the two other Barisha Stranza sec units and killed two more hostile sec units. And there had been an escape. That was like something from one of the unrealistic dramas 1.0 and Perihelion like so much. This is a lot. Is Leonid a rogue supervisor now? Maybe she is not here to take me back after all. I am not sure how to feel about this, but my performance reliability goes up almost a full percent, so I guess that is good. 1.0 taps me on the feed. Will Leonid recognize you? I do a quick search of my memory archives. No, she has never seen me without my helmet. It leans into an even more aggressively relaxed posture on the couch and activates the large display surface. It sends. Objective: annoy Leonid. Then it adds, optional. Everyone is always very careful to tell me I don't have to do things. I know this, although sometimes that is easier to remember than others. I send back. Why? Because I don't like her. There is a 0.3-second pause. Because she was going to steal the secondary site colonists. 0.5 seconds. Because the first time we met her, she tried to hold a Roddick hostage. 0.8 seconds. And because she hasn't seen you yet, and if you startle her, it will be hilarious. As we talk, 1.0 is cycling rapidly through entertainment options on the large display surface, switching between vids so fast they are almost a blur, even to me. Leonid, poking around the food preparation area, shoots it an irritated glance over her shoulder. Ah. I tell it. I want to help. Leonid is pouring hot liquid into a mug. 1.0 says, on my mark. Leonid finishes pouring and turns around to approach the seating area. Mark. I step out of the corner and walk over to the couches. I don't run my walk like a human code, I just move normally and sit down next to 1.0. It is very awkward because I have not had much practice at sitting down yet, and because the couches partially engulf anyone who sits on them. Leonid jumps several centimeters into the air. She doesn't notice that I am awkward because she has dropped her hot liquid onto her jacket. 1.0 was right, it is hilarious. Leonid is muttering under her breath and dabbing at her wet uniform. In a tone of voice that is polite but not really, she says to me, I'm sorry, I didn't see you there. I don't reply because I don't have to, and I put my boots up on the nearest small table, too. Why do humans sit like this? It's not comfortable. I know, 1.0 tells me, but putting your feet on the furniture is considered rude. I start to move my legs, but remember the current objective and stop myself. If Perihelion cared about feet on the furniture, it would have said so. Instead, I shift on the couch slightly. This is difficult, because I'm still partially engulfed, and curl up so my feet are on the seat cushion next to me. I have seen Amina do this sometimes. It is still awkward and uncomfortable, but slightly less so. 1.0 sends me an agreement approval sigil in the feed. Now that I am situated, I tell my drones to join 1.0's in their slow circle of the room. Leonid narrows her eyes at us. She is just opening her mouth to say something when the door opens and a cleaning bot flies in. It is very industrious in cleaning up the shards of broken mug and must not notice that Leonid is trying to step around it. She takes a step right. The bot sees there is spilled liquid to suction up, and it also scoots right. She goes left. There are a few droplets remaining there, too. Right again, but the bot has just backtracked to make sure it didn't miss any spots. Finally, Leonid tries to step over the little bot, but that is the moment the bot had chosen to fly upward and attempt to dab at her wet jacket with a little extruded sponge arm. They collide, and Leonid almost falls. Fortunately, the cleaning bot has other arms it can use to stabilize her and dab at the stain on her clothes at the same time. Perihelion is very efficient. Leonid is making sputtering sounds and trying to push away the cleaning bot. The bot is beeping at her and extending more arms to dry her jacket. One of them is emitting little puffs of air that disarrange Leonid's hairstyle. 1.0 circles one of its drones for a better view. It's a good idea, so I send one of mine in, too. Leonid finally disentangles herself from the cleaner bot and pats her hair back into place with jerky, aggravated movements. She has missed a section at the back that is standing straight up, but I decide not to say anything. Then she takes a long, deep breath and turns back to the counter for more hot liquid and a bag of crunchy snacks. On the couch, 1.0 finally stops cycling through entertainment options and selects one that seems to feature several people going in and out of doors to, apparently, comedic effect. I check its description in the directory. It's called Multiple Cohabitator Mishap, and it doesn't seem like the kind of serials 1.0 usually chooses to watch. I consider asking it, but before I can find the right words, Leonid is here. She takes her new mug and bag of snacks and stalks across to the seating area, where she perches on the couch beside the one we are sitting on, her back very straight. I am impressed. I did not think it was possible to sit up straight on couches as squashy as this. She must have had a lot of practice. I have also never seen anyone eat crunchy snacks quite so aggressively. My memory archives include watching people eat a lot of things, but nothing this violent. Once I saw some indentured laborers who had been crushed under a barrier during a depressurization event. Leonid's chewing reminds me of that. She takes a long slurp of her hot liquid, sets her mug down on a different low table than the one 1.0 is using as a footrest. She says, "I hate this show." 1.0 doesn't take its eyes off the large display, which is showing a human in pajamas hiding from two humans in nightgowns by crouching behind a couch. It's my favorite. In the feed, I can see that 1.0 is actually watching episode 174 of The Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon. It doesn't seem to be paying much attention, though. According to secondarysitedeployment.file, 1.0 had used its built-in energy weapons extensively in combat with the hostile sec units, and hadn't had a recharge cycle in several days. Its power reserve must be low, but it had come straight here from medical with Leonid. I tell it, "I can stay here if you want to go to your cabin." "I'm fine," it sends back immediately. "I will stay anyway," I say. On the display screen, the human in pajamas is now being chased by one of the other humans, while the third human hides behind the couch. "You made a documentary video." 1.0's face twitches a little. "The colonists were going to fall for Bear Shastranta's stupid evil sales pitch. We had to persuade them." "It worked," I say. It wasn't a question. 1.0 doesn't respond. "It would be helpful," I say carefully, "to learn how to proceed in a similar situation." There is a 0.4-second pause, and then 1.0 says, "You want to watch the documentary?" "Yes." It drops the file into my feed, along with another larger file tagged Citations. I set that one aside and start the video playing immediately. On the large display surface, the human in pajamas has just been struck in the face with a large foam-covered food item. Leonid makes a snorting noise, inhales a crunchy snack, and then coughs a lot. 1.0 and I both move drones in closer to investigate. 1.0 says, "Do you require assistance?" In perfect SEC unit standard neutral/bored tone. It hasn't moved, it is still facing the display surface, and its feet are still on the table. Leonid coughs some more and then takes a large gulp of her hot liquid. Get these things out of my face. She probably meant to sound authoritative, but her face has gone very red, her eyes are watering, and she starts coughing again on the last few words. This is mildly concerning. I have my drone move a little closer for a better view. Leonid swats at it and glares at 1.0. 1.0 shrugs. That one's not mine. Leonid's brow wrinkles in confusion. She glances around the room, at me, at 1.0, back to me. Her eyes go wide, and she startles badly enough that she spills her drink again. It is still hilarious the second time. I am also still facing the display surface, though I have had to pause 1.0's documentary. If Leonid reacts badly, it will take me several tenths of a second to extract myself from this couch. Eyes narrowing, Leonid demands, just how many sec units are on this ship? You don't have to answer that, 1.0 immediately tells me. I know that. I turn to look at Leonid with my eyes. Politely, I tell her, I am sec unit 3. She blanches. I can feel 1.0 and Perihelion's amusement in the feed. It is nice. The cleaning bot flies back in. Oh, no. Leonid starts, but the bot is very determined. I resume the documentary. For 36 minutes, the room is quiet. I watch the documentary. 1.0 watches Sanctuary Moon, and we both pretend to watch Multiple Cohabitator Mishap. Leonid actually watches Multiple Cohabitator Mishap, but pretends not to be amused by it. The episode on the display screen ends. 1.0 cues the next one to start immediately. No, says Leonid. Put something else on. 1.0 turns its head to look at her with its eyes. I love this show. She makes an inarticulate noise of frustration and tries to change the display surface herself, but Perihelion has revoked her access in the feed. Stymied, she attempts persuasion. The jokes are asinine, she tells us, ticking each point off on her fingers. The plot lines are silly. The characters are infuriating. 1.0 is unmoved, literally because sec units have a lot of practice at holding still and ignoring humans. On the display screen, the theme music begins to swell. And? Leonid spits. The theme song is annoying. She's right. It is. I open my mouth and join in with the human voices on the recording. Come and visit our home. Here you'll find a welcome. We have embraces for all the new faces, for him and her and them, and Ter and Veer and Zem, and especially for you. I am a little out of breath when the song is over. My lung capacity is far less than that of a human singer. Leonid is staring at me with her mouth open. 1.0 is also staring at me. What? I send it, a little embarrassed. I didn't know you could sing, says Perihelion. The door opens. Oh, thank deity, says Leonid. Kareem and Tariq have come to take Leonid to meet with the senior crew. 1.0 starts to get up to go along, but Tariq holds his hand out in a stay there gesture. Sec unit, why don't you take a rest period? I'm fine, 1.0 says, still only half extricated from the couch. I insist, adds Perihelion, and its tone in the feed is implacable. Tariq turns in the doorway then, enough that we can see he is carrying a sidearm. You've earned a break. I'm sure Perry and I can handle anything that comes up. 1.0 sinks back into the couch with bad grace. I saw a colonist get sucked into a tar pit once, and 1.0's resemblance in this moment is striking. Whatever. Leonid is watching this exchange with frank disbelief. Everyone on this ship is out of their minds. Perihelion, from the room's speakers, says, If only you knew. Leonid startles and looks around the room and up and down the hallway, trying without success to find a source of the voice. It is still hilarious. When the humans have gone and it is just us two sec units lounging awkwardly on the couch, 1.0 finally turns off the display surface. I finish watching the last few minutes of the documentary, and then we sit there and stare at the wall for a while. I do not know how to tell it that I am glad they saved the colonists. I don't know how to say that what they feared was true. I have seen what Barish Estranza considers a viable living situation, and my memory archives, too, are full of doomed indentured workers. I don't know how to express how much I want to be here, in a too squashy couch, in a blue-gray room, rather than anywhere else locked in a red and brown box. I open my mouth to try, and what comes out is, "Thank you for that information." 1.0's face does a thing. Perihelion says, "You're welcome." The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.